the mass crowds of people that you know. You want to spend time with each and every one of us personally. And Father God, I thank you for that intimacy, Father God. That we can enter into your presence, and what we can't do in 12 years, you can do in 1 minute in your presence. So Father God, I pray right now, have your way. Father God, shower us, Lord. Drench us, Lord. Father God, I pray, Lord, that the unusual take place tonight, Father God, that people will leave here totally changed. Not because of a man, not because of a woman, but Father God, because they've got into your presence. Because Father God, as we worship you and praise you, your love showers us, Father God. And thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness and for your marvelous love. Father, you're amazing. Father, thank you, Father God, that you've made us amazing because of you dwelling in us. We're not worthy by actions. We're not worthy by works, but we're worthy because of your love. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you, Father God. There's nothing that we can do to make you love us more or less. You just love us. So, Father, I pray, whack us. Whack us with your love, God. Whack us good, God. Father God, let the people that aren't seeking you, but they're seeking everything else, let them change their hearts and change the way they think to run to you, Father. And to seek you, Father God, knowing that everything else will be just taken care of because of you and your awesome love. Father, right now, shower down your blessing and your presence, Father God. And even right now, Father God, whack those that need a healing, Father. Heal them, Father God, even right now, Father God. They don't have to wait for somebody to lay hands on them. They just need you, Daddy. They just need your presence, Daddy. Father, shower down your presence, Lord. We love you. Father, thank you for singing over us. Thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness and that you sing over us. And you tell us who we are and what we are. Father, those right now that are in the sound of my voice that have doubted who they are and they feel unworthy, Father God, right now, whack them with your love to know that they're worthy. Yes, devil, I rebuke you, and Father God, have dominion. And Father, whack those that need to know right now who they are in you. Those that feel because of who they are or what they've done in their past is forming them who they are right now today, don't let it anymore. Father God says, listen to what he has to say. Listen to his truth. Listen to his word. Listen to what he has to say about you. The God says, stop submitting to the voice of the enemy and start uplifting and submitting to the very word and the very word of truth. Listen to what God has to sing over you. He says you're awesome. He says you're worthy. He says there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in him. He says stop living below the best of him because you feel unworthy. He says you're not worthy because of works. You're not worthy because of something that you can do to please him or to make him love you. He loves you because of who he is. And he makes you who you are because of who he is. Who cares if you didn't have a dad or a mom? Who cares of what people have said about you? God loves you. Who cares what people have to say? Stop seeking the voices of other people. Stop seeking the voices of other people. Stop thinking you've got to seek the friends all the time because sometimes they might say the wrong thing. But seek God to speak the truth over you in love. He loves you. He loves you. He loves us. That's the most amazing thing to me, that every day that I live, I know he loves me. And he loves me. If he loves this spike-haired boy, he loves you. It doesn't matter. Just know he loves you. Get him, God.
Thank you, girls. You're amazing.
Yeah.
You're worth the blood of Jesus offering. Amen. Thank you, Ryan. I just heard my heart to give you the mic, just having praise heart. Did you hear? Man, with such maturity in your prayer. It was nothing about needing anything. It was just a declaration of who he is and thanking him and receiving. What a good model of prayer that was. Prayer. Man, you could pray that way in your life. Amen. We pray so much, we're so needs driven sometimes. We just, all we pray about is what we think we need to have a better day. And what a good model of prayer. I just heard in my heart to pray. Just pray your heart, just pray your heart. And I just heard that real quick there to do that. And man, what a good prayer. Thank you. I just met Mike in the front row. He said, man, I heard a lot about you, man. I said, yeah, I heard a lot about you too. I read the gospel. I know all about him. Created in God's image.
Yes.
Worth the blood of Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
The value of his life is worth the death of Jesus Christ to God the Father. Yes. It's not just because you messed up so bad that he hung there. He wanted to get the mess off of you because he knows who you are.
Yeah.
Since they already know him.
Yeah.
Never met him. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Man. Look at 1 John 4 real quick with me. Thanks for coming tonight. It's fun to be here. It's just fun to be here together with family. I'm finding our family's pretty big. We got family all over the place. We really do. What do you think? 1 John 4, verse 9.
Amen.
Man, you know, there's so much talk about love. I believe Father is shifting. I believe personally that he's shifting the mentality and mindset of the church and where she lives from. We've taken a book of promises and precepts. And I think we've done this the way we've taught it. We've tried to apply it to our lives. Instead of just becoming one with him and in love with him by receiving his love and living from the foundation of love. I know I turned you 1 John. You can just stay there, please. No, seriously. Or Galatians 5, because I'm going right there. Galatians 5 says this. No, serious. I'm not being silly. Galatians 5 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. It's not about what's going on in the outward. It's about what's going on in the inward. He said, even if you don't believe me for the words that I speak, believe me for the works that I do. You know them by the fruit. There's something powerful about this. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything. Now, I know you can say, well, he's talking about you being saved and right with God, that it's not for a work of the flesh. Well, just look at that in the big picture. It's a place you live from. We're not living from the outside in. We're living from the inside out. And that's not just a play on words. What I'm trying to say here is a big deal. Let's catch it in 1 John 4, verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us. Man, we have got to get this. I believe that the Lord is shifting the church in her identity and the foundation that's laid in Christ to where we see ourselves through the work of Jesus, where it's already settled, where we're not trying to find love or be loved or be qualified, but the gospel speaks so clear that it's being preached in such a way. See, because if we're not careful, we'll preach the gospel as a way to get our needs met instead of a way to be transformed back to what we were created to be from the beginning.
Good work.
It's how we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel as a way to have a better day, a way to get to heaven, a way for my life to be better. The gospel is a way for my life to be changed and transformed. The old man gone, the new man restored. The reason Jesus is my everything, because I have no identity apart from him or outside of him. I have no reason for being apart from him. I was created through him.
Yeah.
To manifest him. I'm created in his image. Apart from Jesus, I have no purpose, no identity, no longevity. Life's a survival experiment. There's no reason to be alive. Through Jesus, I find out who I am. He's not my everything because he meets all my needs. He's my everything because through him, I find out who I am. Apart from him, I don't have a true identity. You're going to see it. In this love was manifested, the love of God toward us. What Ryan was saying at the end was so huge. It so blessed my heart. Saying about let the gospel determine you. Let what God says be who you are, not what people are saying. Don't try to draw from the words of men. Receive from the word of God who you are. Start there and live from there. That's got to be established in our lives. It's faith working through love. You're not trying to have faith in a time of need. Faith is working through love. You're not trying to be accepted. You are accepted. You're not trying to be qualified. You are qualified. Okay? Man, it's just so powerful. In this love was manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Not for him. There's a big difference. A lot of people living for him. I want to live through him. I want who he is to become who I am from the inside. Faith working through love. I want to live from the inside out. I've been preaching pretty much the same message everywhere I go. Because it's a big deal. Go to Ephesians 3 and I'll just pour out my heart a little bit. You all good? Just thanks for being here. I haven't talked about healing for a long time in a church that I've traveled to. I mean, little bits and pieces come out. I'm really just laying a foundation of who we are because of him. It's amazing how I'm seeing healing just flow out of the gospel. Just flows through the preaching of his love toward us. And it's really amazing. The last church I was at, we had a leadership meeting and I was sharing, and this one guy asked me after the meeting, because I didn't really talk about a lot of testimonies. He said, well, what have you been seeing? And I told him some testimonies, and somebody was listening and called a loved one with that situation. Prayed for him over the phone. They were totally healed. And they just kept calling loved ones. It's funny how faith, working through love, even for the loved ones, they're perceiving faith. They're seeing God move and touch somebody's loved one, and they're calling. And it was just so many cool things happening. And it was just over the telephone, praying for people that you never met, but you know they're worth the blood of Jesus. You don't have to know if they're in faith. You don't have to know if they're in fear. You don't have to know anything. It's how simple he wants to make me and you. You don't have to know anything. We're all growing. Man, I'm getting to grow. I don't have to know anything except him towards them. In this love was manifested. The bigger that gets in my heart, the more I'll release that by simple faith. The bigger that gets in my heart, the more effectively I'll represent that truth. And it'll make people free. So I'm not trying so hard. I'm not trying to say the right thing. I'm not trying to get a breakthrough. I'm like so thinking that's not a good term. Just trying to get a breakthrough, brother. I understand we have situations that haven't moved, but we see Jesus. He is the breakthrough. The stone's rolled away. He's raised from the dead. We've got to camp there until that overtakes our heart. It's got to overtake our heart. It's got to overtake our mind. Just saw so many people heal over the telephone. It was just fun because they're qualified through him to receive. They're qualified because of the finished work of Jesus. Not because of who they are, because of who he is. I wonder if that gets so big in my heart that it causes me to see people exactly like he sees them. And it makes things so much simpler. Everywhere I'm traveling, the Lord has me preaching pretty much the same stuff, and it's kind of funny because the place gets real quiet because we've preached the gospel a certain way. We've made the gospel about going to heaven. Who's ever heard us preach in this country that you need to pray a prayer so you can go to heaven? That's the push. Right? And along with that prayer, you get a book full of promises to help meet your needs and help your day along. Isn't that the push? Isn't that how we've sold the gospel? If you don't know if you're going to heaven, pray this prayer so you can go. And I'm telling people everywhere I go, that's not the priority reason. I thank God for everlasting life. I am. But see, it's a destination. It's not a mission. It's not. I'm alive forever because he's eternal and I'm in him and he's in me. There's no death in him and I'm in him. There's no death in him and he's in me. So everlasting life is part of the covenant package. It's not the motivation. The motivation for being born again is putting off the old, putting on the new, getting restored back to original value. The whole reason that we're to be Christians is to be restored back to love. We've got to start preaching it this way. Because it's all about transformation. It's all about faith working through love. And this love was manifested. Look at the songs that people are writing today. They're so intimate. They're so about love. They're so about him loving us and who we are because of him. If you were the enemy, if you were Satan and you were trying to fight against God, wouldn't you try to get in the heads of people and try to keep them from seeing the truth about this message that makes them free and not see clear who they are because of him and mess with our belief system and get us thinking a whole bunch of stuff?
Yeah.
I am so worth the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't have a problem with that anymore. I don't have a problem standing here and saying it. That's his idea. That's his statement towards me. And this love was manifested that God sent his son for me. We made it all about sin. My whole life it was all about sin and what was wrong with me. So all I was focused on was what was wrong with me, and I couldn't produce right, so I was just sure I was wrong. And you can't change yourself.
That's right.
So the more aware that you are that you're wrong, that something's wrong with you, and you have this idea that it's just all about sin, and the reason I need to go to church is because it's at least something right to do, because my life's so wrong. Here's the deal. He did not just die on the cross because of my sin. He died on the cross because of my value. And that's what we miss. He died on the cross because I'm worth the blood of Jesus in my original value. In my created value, I am so worth redeeming. It's not just God loves me while I was a sinner. God loves me because he knows who I am. He knows that sin isn't who I am.
That's right.
Sin is what I became and fell into, was born into. You must be born. That's pretty simple. I was born into Adam. That's all I knew. Me, the love for me. Selfish, the love for me. We've got to stop preaching this gospel in a way that it allows selfishness to remain by just praying a prayer and coming to a church. Selfishness, deny yourself. That's the twist. That's the lie. When you're self-conscious and self-focused and self-preserving, that's where fear, worry, anxiety, and all that stuff attaches. Because it's still all about you. To vulnerability. And we've preached it in the way of this gospel to keep all that alive. Now it's all supposed to die. You don't consider yourself. You don't even consider your own life. Does that mean that you let the devil run you over? Absolutely not. But you don't pray in a self-serving way. You stand in covenant like Ryan was just doing, and it changes your whole perspective of life.
Yes.
And then you're not troubleshooting and applying promises to issues and problem-oriented. You're living from covenant. You're living from the Christ. And you see different. You say to the mountain, there's an authority in what I'm saying. It's not a problem-driven life that you're trying to find a promise to back up your crisis. It changes your whole perspective. If perfect love casts out all fear, need is driven by fear, faith works through love, it sounds like this is a big deal. Okay? You've got to see this because this is huge to me. It just came in my heart. I wasn't even planning to go to Ephesians 3. We're here. I feel like it's right. You know, my Bible says in this chapter that to know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't really understand that. How God can put all of his fullness in me except that he makes us complete. And all that he is in us. All that he is mine, and all that I am is his. It's an exchange of covenant. It's like you're at the altar becoming one, saying, I do. I give you all that I am. Fullness, the word fullness means a house with no empty rooms or a town with no empty houses. So if it's the love of Christ that brings fullness to your life, it has nothing to do with life itself. Life itself isn't the determining factor of who you are. Circumstances has absolutely nothing to do with who you are. Who you are is the result of the gospel. The gospel tells me who he is, remember? That's so powerful. The only way that's established in your life is through prayer along with God, through prayer in your heart, through expressing that, through thanking him. I know why I asked Ryan to jump up. What a model prayer. What a mature prayer. Bless you. He got up and just thanked Daddy for his amazing love and just poured out his heart in an exchange of truth. The truth makes you up. Man. We're needs-driven people if we're not careful. My greatest need is knowing him and knowing who I am because of him. Because to know the love of Christ is be filled with all the fullness of God. Not having every prayer I feel like I need answered. Knowing him changes everything. You're going to see it. Because there's a fight, there's a war. There's a demonic war against the kingdom of God, and we're in the middle, created in the image of God. Our focus should never be the devil. Our focus is Jesus. We submit to God, therefore resist the devil. He'll flee. We're not devil conscious or sin conscious, church. We're Jesus conscious. We're right with God. We're born again. We're not afraid. We're loved. You can lose a battle, and what I'm saying is still true. So you let the truth keep your heart on fire. Because we're living for the long haul, baby.
Yeah.
We're not fly by night, weekend warriors, 30-day money back guarantee, 60-day try me, see if you like me. That's all the world. We're lifers. And the just live by faith. It's not a try me, see if you like me, see if I work for you. Give me back, you know, give me back and get your refund in the mail. So all you'll say is then give me my life back, eh? Lay down your life. You lay down every reason you were alive before you knew him. You lay it all down. This gospel demands change. It's transformation of everything. It ought to be preached that way all the time. Because there's no condemnation in what I'm saying. There's freedom in what I'm saying. Apart from this truth, you're your worst enemy. It's not even the devil. I'm serious. You don't think about that. It's not even the devil. It's you because she has plenty to work with. It's simple what I'm saying, but it is really, really true. Man. So the whole reason I'm on the planet is to love. It's to manifest love. Not to be loved. To love. Did you get it? We're waiting on somebody to love us. He already did. He already did. And this love was manifested. It's already happened. God has declared forever, I love you. You're worth my love because I know who you are. Created you, handcrafted you myself. I know you. And you're worth the blood. Come on, that's the big deal right there. It's the truth. So you've already been loved. We're waiting to be loved. We're waiting for somebody to love us, somebody to show us the time of day, somebody to appreciate us, somebody to encourage us. The gospel's here for you. You find who you are through Jesus Christ. It's that plain. There's no actually, I'm going to get real cut and dry here. There's actually nowhere else to look. There's nothing else to preach about that. Yeah. Follow me? You do yourself a favor if you get that narrow right here in your eye. If you get that single with your eye, it would close down every other option. You'd never travel down another empty road. Serious. It's just powerful. See, because God doesn't change. There's no turning or shifting of shadow. There's a created value in your and my life. There's a created purpose. You're drawing breath for a reason, and that's not your where you're supposed to work, who you're supposed to marry, where you're supposed to live. That's what we turn the will of God into. The reason you draw breath is to manifest Him. The reason mercy allows you to live is to manifest Him.
Yes.
From the inside out. Y'all okay with that? What's the big deal about that is that's where love is and that's where faith is. Faith works through love. Faith works through knowing Him, coming one with His heart. I had the privilege of praying for a man in Tennessee who was in drugs his whole life, in and out of jail. Left his second wife to go back with his first wife. And while he was there, he fell off the roof a whole lot of feet and broke his back. They put all kinds of metal in his back. And in a couple months, he had 3 more surgeries to put the metal all back again because it kept falling apart. He took bone out of his body, like his hip or something, to put it in his back. Excruciating pain. Metal, walking a doggy, and the doggy pulled on the leash and his back fell apart. That's how bad it was. They couldn't go in the back anymore because they already did 3 times. So they went in the front to fix the back. This is horrible. In the natural, the least deserving person on the planet. Doesn't have a good resume in the flesh. Who does? 2 weeks before that, he cried out to God and said, I need you in my life. I need your mercy. I need to know who you are. I had the great privilege of praying for him. One time. I can't explain to you why sometimes we labor in some situations. And sometimes it seems so easy, but the gospel's the gospel. And we're growing. Pray for him one time. This guy's in so much pain, he's afraid to move. He can't move. He's got so much metal. He's got screws holding together. He called them nuts and bolts. He said wires and pins and 2 rods. Pain all through his legs. He's excruciating. I asked him to describe the pain and he really couldn't. One prayer. Absolutely no pain. twisting, turning, doing all this stuff. And then he did this. He did this.
Yeah.
He laid hands on me. He reported that to me to know. I'm a limber fellow. That's what he did. He didn't touch his toes. He made fists and put them on the carpet. He just felt inspired. He cried so hard he couldn't talk. Because one breath from God restored him. I don't even know how God does that stuff, what he does. The metal people say, did he take the metal out? And even I said, who cares? If he took it out, wow. If he didn't, wow. God's wow. And every time those things happen, it's not the question why not why. It shows what's available. It shows that he's a yes and that he can. And that kind of power's on the planet. The kind of love and mercy's here. Just got to keep growing in it, guys. Fascinates me. Something about mercy and all that is just fascinating. Sometimes I'm concerned when we don't have that kind of resume that we think it's works and it's still mercy. That guy knows it's mercy. Sometimes we're doing all the right things and doing the best and seeming all the right. Now, I'm concerned that we could cross over into works and not even realize. It's still mercy. That's just a good, healthy word. I think I needed to hear that one. That was good. Thank you. Man, that got my heart. Oh, I'm going to cry. Of course, we get gung-ho, you know, we get everything in order. And, still mercy. I hope you're hearing kids. Am I making this? It's still mercy. You don't earn a thing. It never works. As knowing him, and as much as knowing him is important, and walking pure before him and all that stuff, it's still mercy. And I feel like Holy Spirit saying, don't forget that. Because it's the one thing that Satan can't stop or defeat. Because God never set this gospel up based on your works, but based on the finished work of his son.
That's right.
That's the gospel hinges on that. Never your works. Just your complying to, settling in with, coming into agreement with his finished work. Man, I need to hear that word big time. Wow. It's mercy. Can't stop the mercy of God. Can you imagine being the enemy? Legalistic accuser trying to defeat mercy? Come on. Receiving mercy is a big deal. That's getting bigger and bigger in my heart. Forgive me if I'm just being quiet and not saying much here.
Thank you.
Mercy.
Thank you.
Can you imagine that? Trying to defeat mercy? We all deserve to die based on rightness, wrongness, works. But because of his work, we all live. Mercy has triumphed over judgment. The law of the spirit of life through Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Growing in this love relationship is huge. It's huge. Please don't let this, we've preached it this way, please don't let this be a book of precepts and principles that you tap into in time of need. It can be so impersonal and slip into works, and next thing you know, we're just quoting what the Bible says instead of becoming one with him and growing in love with him. I've noticed lately a lot of people I've prayed for, I haven't even quoted a scripture when I'm praying for them. We think that's like imperative. To say, be healed, sickness come out, back be made whole, body be whole, eyes be free, see like you were created to see in Jesus' name. Saw a man almost virtually blind, his vision totally restored in an instant. And within a couple of days, saw two other people with cataracts and blurred and couldn't drive at night, and they melted right out of their eyeballs. Just love that. 2 weeks later, I met a lady with cataracts. I got so excited to pray for her. And I didn't see any change in her eyes. Just try to make you go bonkers. Just try to make your mind go bananas. I just watched two people with cataracts just melted out of their eyes. And she said, I got cataracts. And I was almost like, good. Not meaning good, I'm glad you have cataracts. Good, I'm growing in a revelation. Cataracts are no match for Jesus. Prayed for and nothing at the time. I haven't seen her since, but at the time, nothing. It tries to get in your head at the time. I even told her the two cataract testimony. You know it doesn't change this, right? If you make rational sense of that, you will make a big mistake. You will subvert your own faith, your own revelation, your own ability to just release who He is in every situation. If you try to figure that out and make human sense out of that, you will make a major mistake. Leave it alone. Serious. Leave that scenario alone and we see Jesus. And the next person we pray for, it's not nothing to do with the one that didn't fade away. It's because of the ones that do, because of what the Word says. Do you get what I'm saying here?
Yes.
Don't let what's not happening have a voice.
That's right.
Let the Word of God speak and build on what God's doing. Okay? I'm just going to wrap this up. Man, I've got this up. Mercy words got me. Gosh. I'm so convicted right now. I feel like God's saying sometimes you try way too hard. It's going to make me cry. Please wait till we're alone. Serious, man, that's resounding in me. I didn't mean to get all quiet on you, but he was ministering to me there. Mercy. Mercy is an amazing thing. I might not sleep tonight. I might just lay this mercy. Verse 8 of Ephesians 3, and I'll wrap this up. We'll just pray for one another. You got to see stuff like this in your Bible. You know, we're good at pulling out quotes and phrases and popular sections of scripture. We all have done it, right? But I like to see why it's in there in context. And I've been really big on that for years. Like every time I see a therefore, I back up and find out what it's there for. When you jump into verse 14 and it says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father, the Lord Jesus, don't just quote the prayer about becoming love and knowing the height and depth and width, because it's beautiful. It's almost, some of these scriptures almost, it's just beautiful. He'd hang on your refrigerator and be like, whoa, and you quote it. But you got to know what he's talking about. When he says, for this reason, you got to back up and find out why he prayed this prayer. You follow what I'm saying? He prayed this prayer about you and me becoming love, being filled with God. And you've got to back up and find out why he prayed this prayer. And if you'll back up, you'll find that he reveals the intent of God in releasing the gospel. Okay. Hopefully you'll get as excited as I feel when we get there and read it, because the angel still said this is good tidings, great joy. One day we're going to get that. And we're going to stop letting life determine who we are. One day all of us are going to get it, that the gospel is good tidings of great joy.
Yes.
And we're going to stop letting life tell us who we are.
Yes.
And we're going to stop listening to the devil like Ryan was preaching tonight. And we're going to see that who we are is a finished work of Christ. And it's good tidings of great joy. Like flaky yay.
Yes.
Serious. Right in the face of adversity and loss. Because you can't lose in Jesus. Some of you have heard me share when God spoke to me on abortions. Abortion's sin. It needs repented of. Killing innocent lives. We don't need to go there. Everybody knows that's not God. But don't think God isn't greater than abortion.
That's right.
He showed me in prayer one time that every one of those little children that are aborted, they're not. Don't think embryos are floating around in heaven. It's not happening. In his amazing infinite wisdom and majesty, he raises every aborted child up to fruition, to the full identity of who they were created to be. And they're all sealed with him for eternity because of Satan's haste to kill. They live forever.
Yeah.
Not one of them can possibly miss God. They've never known sin. They've never rebelled against anything. All they've known is him from the time they were aborted. In Satan's haste to kill, sin abounds. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So as tragic as abortion is, watch this. All Satan knows is steal, kill, destroy, steal, kill, destroy, steal. He's bent on steal, kill, destroy. Perfect candidate to put Jesus on the cross. Kill, kill, kill. Because in every case when you kill, it seems like you win. But in this case, you kill, you really lose. So in the garden, he said, it's the hour of darkness. Jesus said, do what you must. It's the hour of darkness. It shows that Holy Spirit just pulled back. There's no restraint, no restriction. Just let darkness do what it does. It kills.
Yeah.
And when it kills, we win.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Just think of all them aborted children. Think of the majesty and wisdom of God. Millions of aborted children that if Satan would just let them be born in the chaos of this life and the pressures and a lot of the misconceptions and even some of the misrepresentations of this book, some of them would go on and never serve God, hate God, serve the devil, be Satanists and all kinds of stuff. Because the road is broad to destruction. But instead of playing those odds in his haste to kill, he kills millions and entrusts them to God's presence forever. Everyone. We ought to just see stuff like that and go, wow. Millions.
He loses.
How's he going to defeat God? How can you defeat mercy? How can you defeat a God that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more? How are you ever going to defeat God? See, the only thing that defeats you, God, Holy Spirit, help me. The only thing that defeats, I'm trying to back out and I can't. The only thing that defeats us is the self-centered, self-serving concept of your Christianity. You are not a Christian for you. You're a Christian to manifest him. I'm not being mean. I tried to back out of saying that. I did a little double take and he's like, what are you doing? Just say it. The biggest enemy. It's a misconception of why we're born again, why we're Christians. The answer to why you're a Christian is huge. Your answer to why you're a Christian determines the manifestation of your life. Determines the fulfillment of destiny. Determines everything. You've got to get the why behind you being a Christian very crystal clear in your life. Please don't be a Christian just to go to heaven, and please don't be a Christian for you. Be a Christian to be restored back to your original value, and that's created in his image, and he's love. Love one another. It says, beloved, if God loved us in this manner, shouldn't we love one another? You know what it says? If a man loves, he's born of God and knows God. And if he doesn't love, he doesn't know God. You can quote all the Bible you want, but your love life reveals what you know about God. As far as knowing Him. What determines you knowing God is your love. Mean, bitter, full of attitude, touchy, offensive. You know all about God. You just haven't known Him yet. It's time to get alone with Him. And yield yourself to Him so who He is becomes who you are. Stop studying your Bible and yield yourself to it. Oh man, I didn't double take on that one. That one just came right out. That was like, serious. The Word becomes flesh. You don't know the Word until you become it. Because we live from the inside out. Knowledge puffs up, love edifies. And I just feel tons of love in my heart talking about this. Not being mean, not trying to hurt anybody. Verse 8, Ephesians 3. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Back up there in verse 3, he said how that by revelation, well, he says if, this is Paul writing. And in verse 2, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written, which means chapters 1 and 2 is a brief writing of the revelation Jesus gave Paul. It would behoove us to read it in our life and understand that the revelation Jesus gave Paul of the gospel is written in chapter 1 and 2. That's what he said. By which, when you read it, you may understand my knowledge in this mystery, which in other ages, verse 5, was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. This is going to make sense to you, why we've preached such a low level of the gospel. My whole life, guys, I didn't understand. I don't know about you, but my whole life, I just thought I had to go to church and I had to pray a prayer and I had to change because I was a sinner, and that the only reason Jesus died is because I was a sinner. That's all anybody ever taught me. Nobody ever taught me that I was created in His image and God was paying the price to get a false identity off. That God was showing me what I was living was not who I was. Nobody ever taught me that my value was worth the death of Jesus Christ. I was never taught that my whole life. I was always taught I needed to pray because I was a sinner. And I needed to repent and get right with God. And all I was ever focused on is what was wrong with me and what wasn't making me right. Nobody ever really told me that my life was worth living. That my value in God was worth every drop of His blood. That He by choice sent His Son because He knows who I am. And I have tremendous value to God the Father. Now that I know that, it changes everything. Because that's seeing His first love. Please remember that. It's like a twofold gospel. Yes, He died for the remission of your sin. But it's because He knew under that sin was something worth dying for. God, you. Life is so worth living. Now that He's come. Amen? Okay. Let me jump to verse 8 now since you give me a little... He's preaching among the Gentiles this unsearchable riches of Christ. Look, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God. Look what God did, who created all things through Jesus Christ. See why He's our everything? Yeah. Now look, to the intent, or with the intention that. God did this with the intent that now. I don't usually do this, you know, I don't usually do this. Everybody say this with me, say now. Now, when? now. You know I don't usually do that. This is fun. Say that with me one more time. That now. When?
Now.
Okay. We got that. That now the manifold wisdom might be made known by the wisdom of who? Of God might be made known by the church. We're asking God to do a whole lot in the realm of defeating darkness and stuff. God's intention is that the wisdom of God would be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now look, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished, he redeemed my eternal destiny. He redeemed my eternal value. He redeemed my created value. He redeemed the reason I'm on the planet. Satan caused every man to fall and be born into Adam, and Christ came that I could be born again. That means put off the old, put on the new, put on Christ. Reckon myself dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. It's never again about sin to me. I'm reckoned dead to sin, alive unto God. There's so much sin consciousness. People are walking around. Reckon yourself dead. Dead, Mike. Dead. Dead. To sin. Alive unto God. Through Christ Jesus. Come on. If I take a little survey, how many people are thinking that way daily and talking that way to God and praying and rejoicing and being excited about that? You might be amazed. Not a whole lot of hands would raise right in this room. And I'm not being mean and I'm not being judgmental. I'm not even going to put you in that place to ask you. You know. And I'm saying, man, grab all the good news, because this is good tidings of see, what we've been diminished to, if we're not careful, is trying to find joy and grab a hold of some hope through the pressures of life, trying to find God when he's here, revealed through his son. And you're revealed in and through him. Man, what Ryan was speaking out tonight was very powerful in the beginning. To the intent, right? According to the eternal purpose which he what? What did he do? He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. I don't see the majority of Christians bold and confident and having access to the Father, even though you do. God is shifting something in the church. He is. I'm telling you. He's shifting something. I was up there at that Thursday night when I went up just to support mighty missionary woman of God, Jessica. She got anointed for missionary work. They called her up there. Just there to support and bless and honor. And I got really blessed. Graham Cook was up there sharing and preaching. It was very clear the things he was sharing, like this. And really, really edifying. And I thought, wow, God is like blowing a trumpet among his people to rise and wake up and see who we've become. Yes. Let's stop praying for something that's already happened. Let's just wear it. Yeah. Let's just put it on and look good. Who, me? Yeah, you. Okay. Serious. Let's stop trying to talk God out of what can never change. He loves you. Let's stop trying to think we have to do one more thing. It's a being gospel. You're human beings. Be loved. Be forgiven. Be redeemed. Be righteous. Be restored. Be father's girl. Be father's boy. Be. Just be. That's what the gospel says. Just be. Just be brought back to reality. Just be. See, if we're with integrity and sincerity, wear the gospel like that, it'll change your heart and transform it. You're not gonna, the fight with sin is over then. I'm telling you, when you wear righteousness and you become a slave to righteousness, you produce your fruit to holiness. It's the righteous consciousness that bears fruit. You're not trying not to sin. You're living righteous. You're living right with God. You're His. You're washed. You're clean. You're thinking that way. You're living that way. You're looking through that eye and you're bearing that fruit. Why does an apple tree bear apples?
Oh.
What kind of trees are we? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the... Whose choice are we? Who planted that? The planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Why do we bear the fruits of righteousness? Because we're righteous. We're not trying to be righteous.
That's right.
Whoever passed an apple orchard saw all the trees out there shaking and quivering. Looking at each other, comparing how many buds were on each other, trying to pop more out and keep up and compete. It's absolutely bizarre. But we tend to live that way. Apples. Come on, it's called works. The cost of your soul and emotions. Trying to be a Christian. Forgive me, I'm just having fun with it. He accomplished this in Christ. So your life and my life is designed by God to reveal His amazing wisdom through our salvation right in the face of darkness and the fall of man. The devil thinks he's got every man. I'm telling you, I'm not teaching this tonight, but if you study the beginning of the book of Job, you will find that whole story is about Satan's accusation against every man is that every man loves himself more than God. That's what the whole thing's about. Satan did not go in and ask permission to hammer Job. God highlighted Job to the devil first. Why? Because he was showing him that there's a man on the earth. It's kind of to me like that remnant thing. He's just pointing. He's just pointing to the new covenant church. He's pointing to people washed through the blood. He's saying, have you even considered there's nobody like this man? You think you got everybody. You think everybody's just like you. But here's one that loves me more than his own life. Here's one that loves me above everything. Even his circumstances. Here's one that knows me and honors me for who I am. God highlighted Job to the devil. The devil's comeback was, well, he only blesses you because you bless him. He only treats you like this because you do right to him. Stretch forth your hand and take away all that blessing. He'll curse you like anybody else because the only reason people love you or act like they love you is because of what you might do for them. That's what the whole story's about. It's a long book. Job had a wrong theology. He believed everything that happened was God. He actually believed God took away the blessing and caused the fire to fall and killed his kids. And he still went cursing because he honored God for who God was and didn't love his own life unto death. So Job's theology was twisted, and I really believe his friends certainly were twisted because God said so himself. But all those middle chapters is very simple to me. All those middle chapters show the response of life when your theology is twisted. And the response of soul and what you put yourself through when you don't have a clear view of God. And the enemy. All those chapters could be erased if they understood the adversity from the beginning. Now you look, when you look at all the middle chapters, if you ever read Job, how much we still do and say all those middle chapters today. Well, you must be in sin. Well, you must need to repent. Well, you must be caught in folly. Well, there's something you're doing wrong. All this wouldn't be happening if you didn't open the door, brother. Come on! And we reveal that we don't even understand what's written and why. Here's the deal. Most adversity comes because Satan believes you're in love with you more than the God that you say you serve or love. That's what he believes. And he accuses you day and night before God, believing you love yourself more than the God that you say you love. The way we overcome is the blood and the word and love not our own lives unto death. This whole thing boils down to you loving yourself more than God, or exchanging who you are apart from God for who God is in you and through you and why. That his manifold wisdom will be revealed right in the face of darkness. Right in the face of a selfless man. That's alive for one reason, to love and manifest Jesus. Come hell or high water, right in the face of adversity, the integrity stands the test of time. That's a good place to live. That's what causes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what's your fire to us? We don't even have a need to answer you in this matter. He's God. Their lives are at stake, and all they can do is say, we don't even have to answer you. He's God. He's. They weren't like, oh my God, you can't let this happen to us. Please, shitty out of Uncle Sam. You see, he's God. They went to the extreme of saying, even if he doesn't save us, King, there's something you need to know. He's God. You're not. That's what they were saying. So we're not going to worship you with our fear. We're not going to worship you with our anxiety. We're not going to worship you and reveal that we're in love with us and only go into him for our sake. We'll burn in this fire if we have to, because we'll be with him forever. He's Lord. We're not bowing to you. I want to read some of these stories. They're there for a reason. You know the Israelites' wilderness could have been Jesus' wilderness experience. You do know that, right? That Jesus just passed through the wilderness the right way, since they never made it through. The only difference between the Israelites' wilderness and Jesus' wilderness experience, because Holy Spirit led him in there, God led him through the wilderness. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit as soon as he got water baptized. Jesus went through the wilderness as love and selfless and went through for you and me and God. The Israelites went through wondering, saying it would be better for us. They went through self-centered and self-conscious. Jesus went through selfless and love. Yeah. He came out in the spirit and power. They died there. It's amazing. Jesus came out in the spirit and power of the wilderness because he went through his love. Selfless. Passed through every test and trial. The Israelites went in there with the opportunity to come out knowing their God and the land fearing them because of their God. And all they could do was complain and grumble and get destroyed because they were self-focused. And the only way to defeat the enemy is love not your own life unto death. We quote the blood and the word, but you render them powerless if you love yourself, even though they're all powerful. The only time you don't receive, the Bible says, is when we have faith issues, revelation issues, I would like to call it, or we ask amiss our own desire. You can tell when you ask amiss your own desire when you're driven by fear. Because fear means it's really all about you. Are you all right? Okay. I'm trying to close and I'm not doing good. I'm just not. So we have boldness and access to confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you, don't lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Paul's getting the great privilege to walk through and live through what he's teaching. He wrote a lot of this stuff from prisons and jail. He suffered, he was beat, he was stoned. Come on, he goes into a city and they hammer him. He could have been turning and saying, God, you're asking me to go preach your gospel. You think you can cover my back? I've laid down my life for you and everything. every time I open my mouth, they hit me with rocks. You think you would just stop that? I'm trying to serve you and do your will. Come on. I honestly believe that's what he was saying in 2 Corinthians 10. Or 12. 2 Corinthians 12, when he asked him to remove this thorn. He said, my grace is sufficient. I told you I'd show you the things you'll suffer for my name's sake, because it's never again about you. And Satan thinks it's still about you. So he's poking you, thinking you'll look inward and turn inward and lose the call or fail to fulfill the call. You keep your eyes on me. My grace is sufficient for you. You keep trucking boy preaching Jesus. Now go. By Acts 20, he got it real plain and clear, because he said, you know, everywhere I go, Holy Spirit says chains and prisons await me. But none of these things move me, because I don't count my own life dear, so that I can fulfill the will of him who called me.
Yeah.
Bible makes so much sense. Satan keeps making it all about Paul and what he's going through. And Paul's saying, no, but it's all about Jesus. And I bear the marks in my own body for this gospel. Man, see, we don't even understand that. We're getting it, though. We reveal we don't understand it when we get an impression to just walk over to somebody and say, hey, how are you doing? Man, I'd love to. Can I just pray for you? And we talk ourselves out of it. You know why, don't you? I'll let you answer why. You all know why. Verse 14, for this reason, for what reason? Because the gospel is revealed with the intent that the manifold wisdom of God, God has entrusted his manifold wisdom being revealed through your life in the face of darkness. Wow. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, now look at this, not praying a prayer to go to heaven, that you being rooted, and I'm really not against living forever, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width and length and height or depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's amazing. What Paul's saying is, because of this amazing call, I'm praying that you all become love, because then you can never look and consider yourself, and you'll pay whatever price necessary to manifest him, even at the cost of your life. It'll never again be about you, because love doesn't seek its own. He's saying you'll never fulfill why you're a Christian unless you become love. And my prayer is that you all have a revelation of this love. All the songs we sing about God loving us, all the sermons trying to convince us that we're loved, all the focus on God's love for you, God's love for you. And I'm telling you, Father wants to take it a whole big step further of you being loved to become love.
Yes.
It doesn't stop with you being loved. The finished work, I believe, the finished work of the risen Christ is when a man becomes the heart of God.
Yes.
When a man becomes love, it's the reason he died and rose again. Not just to love you, to transform you into love.
Yes.
That's why he died and rose again. Not just to love you, for you to become love. It's the whole reason you're on the planet in the first place. And if any man come to me, let him first deny, because you were never created for you. You created in his image to reveal him. And Paul said, because this call is so awesome, I pray that everyone be rooted and grounded in love and have a revelation of it so they become it. I'm done. 1 John 4 says this in the end of the chapter. Well, no, around verse 17. And this love is perfected among us, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, and it establishes in verse 8 that God is love, and the whole chapter is love, 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 love. Because as he is, God is love, so are we in this world. What it means is, come hell or high water, trials, circumstances, wrongdoings, All kinds of stuff. On that day we stand before him and he looks into us and sees himself on the inside. Our hearts and his heart have become one. As he is, so are we right here.
Yeah, great word.
We use that as he is, so are we, and we like make it the fiery eyes and the resurrection power and the yard. And that's all good. But the context of the chapter is God is love, God is love, and if God loved us this way, you ought to love one another, etc. And then this love has been perfected that when we stand before him on that day, there'll be no lack of confidence, there'll be actually boldness, because you've taken on his heart. And when he looks into you, he'll see who he is. And you'll go, wow. Isn't that good? So good. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves torment, and there's no torment or judgment when you're one with his heart. Isn't that cool? That's even the contents of that fear scripture. That Misty Edwards song wrecks me. I let it play. It plays forever anyway. I don't want to be offended when it's all coming down. It's all coming down. I don't want to be found offended. Why would I be offended over something that's temporal when I can yield myself to eternal things? Why let the word of a person that I don't agree with potter me and mold me right in the face of the word of the living God? Why let the action of another supersede and outweigh the act of God through his son? Why let man mold me and etch me and shape me instead of the author and giver of life who created me in his image? What this young man was saying in the beginning about letting every other voice determine you has got to stop. It's who God says you are is who you are. And that doesn't mean you put some chip on your shoulder and have some false sense of, well, I don't care what anybody says because I'm love. And your heart's hard saying it because you're hurt. You all good? I'll tell you, I'm good. We're going to pray for the sick. You know why? As we preach love, faith works through love. I'm going to churches preaching like this, not even talking about praying for the sick, and we pray for the sick everywhere I go. God is doing some cool stuff. He really is. Cool stuff. We just had a lady, her knees were so bad, I never saw any knees that bad. It's like somebody poured gravel down inside her kneecaps, it was bad. I just told the guys at Jones today about it. I touched her knee. I just touched her and I was just kind of asking a question. I barely touched her knee. She almost jumped. I felt like, oh, sorry. She said, oh. I said, did that hurt that bad? She said, oh, yeah. It was so bad. No cartilage whatsoever. Her knees felt like they had gravel in them. When she bent her knees, it was like, she's walking like this. In excruciating pain, teary-eyed. Prayed three times, and each time she got better, and the third time she had brand new knees. She got up and walked like I walk, and her son sat there and cried and cried and cried, watching Mama walk. She sat down and did this thing with her knees over and over, and then she's pushing all around them with pressure and couldn't even find one tender spot. 5 minutes before, you couldn't touch her knees. And she could hardly walk and needed them both replaced. And then 5 minutes later, we didn't hype it, didn't pray loud. I talked so soft. No music playing. Wasn't mind over matter, emotions. Unbelief's a wretched, wicked thing. Please don't let it in your heart. Serious. People say stuff like that. Father, we just thank you right now. We just yield to you. We are loved by you. You're not mad at us. Oh, this is good. You got to get this. Come on, receive this. You're not mad at us. We can't earn a thing. You've given it all. You've given us the kingdom. You didn't even do like the kings of old. They'd say it's all yours up to half the kingdom. You gave us the kingdom. You didn't even hold back the other half. You said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You love us. You're pleased with us. You're excited about loving us. Jesus, you came desiring to give your life so that we could receive life. You became what we were and who we were at that time of death. You became sin on the cross so we could become the righteous judgment of God on the earth. And Lord, we thank you for that. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are blessed because of you. This gospel is good tidings of great joy. I'm asking for all of us, Lord, to have a greater revelation daily. A greater revelation daily, Lord God, of our identity and what makes us who we are. That life would no longer have a resounding voice. That circumstances would no longer be a determining factor. But that from this rooted and grounded place, from this secure place, we would look and see. And Lord God, nothing would determine us but Christ and Him crucified. Lord, I just pray that grace over us right now, that everyone would be extreme in receiving love. Everyone would just have no hindrance whatsoever in being forgiven and loved and be able to look in a mirror and smile and thank God for the day they were born. Lord, I pray this grace over this place right now, that everyone would be excited to be alive. And we're not waiting for you to blow the trumpet and wrap this thing up, forgetting about others, but we're excited to become love and see people from your point of view. Lord, we ask that you make our vision like yours, that we start seeing what you see. We thank you. Your heart is our heart. And Father, we're looking through your eyes. Father, we thank you that as we see our value in you and we see who we are through the Christ, we'll be able to see others that way, that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Yes. No more identity crisis, no more condemnation, guilt, or shame. But we see our lives are worth the blood of Jesus, so we see others' lives are worth the blood of Jesus. Jesus. We're valuable to you, and we see the value of others. We don't pray for the sick because they have faith. We pray for the sick because you love them and paid a price for them. And these signs truly follow those that believe. Father, thank you for this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name. Just a good time to pray for each other. If you're here, I know it's 9:30. I'm telling you, if you've got anything in your body, if you were prayed for 100 times for something, just forget about that. And let tonight be the first night. And just come on up here. We won't pray for the sick tonight. I want, in the revelation of love, I want the body of Christ to come up here and help me when the people come. Anybody with sickness in this place, I want you to come up, please. I mean, if you got one thing that might seem small to you, Jesus paid a price. Don't you see?